away a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Thank you.
bow our heads as we ask God's blessing on our service this morning. Our precious God, we thank you and praise you this morning that we can be gathered in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And indeed, Lord, you are like the morning star. Lord, when every other star has lost its glow, Lord, you're still shining brightly. Lord, when every other star disappears, we still see you looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, you shine above every other star. You shine above every other prince. You shine above every other king. Lord, you are a God, and there is only one God, and there's none beside you. Lord, men have made gods out of stone and wood, and all sorts of imaginations they have made unto themselves God. But Lord, there is no God like you. You are a living, risen Saviour. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you took upon yourself the form of a servant. You came and you lived amongst us, and you walked among men. And Lord, you lived an obedient life, and you suffered death for us, Lord. Indeed, your word says that you tasted death for every man. Lord, we give you thanks this morning for Calvary. We give you thanks for your shed blood. We thank you, Holy God, that you reached down toward us. For Lord, you were out of reach for us. We couldn't reach you. We couldn't approach you. We had no way to help ourselves. We had no rescuer, no form of help whatsoever. We were in desperation when you came, and you reached down your hand in love, and you lifted us out of a horrible pit, and you set our feet upon the King's highway. We thank you, Lord, that even you poured in the oil and the wine. We thank you, Lord God, for your righteousness. We thank you, Lord, for satisfaction and assurance, Lord Jesus Christ, this morning. Lord, these things can only be found in you. Lord, we bless your name, and we lift up your name far above every other. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you that you'll bless this service for your own glory. Let everything that's said and done bring glory and honour to your wonderful name. Let every voice that's spoken this morning be spoken in praise to thee, O King. Let every heart that leaps this morning leap forth and rejoice because of your goodness, Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord God, that your anointing, Lord, will fall upon us, even in the cars this morning, even upon the hearers of thy word, that we could, like the psalmist David said, enter your gates with thanksgiving in our heart, and enter your courts with praise. Let us rejoice, for this indeed is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we're glad this morning to be saved and washed in the blood. We're glad this morning to have the knowledge of our sins forgiven. Lord, we're glad this morning that we're called the sons and the daughters of God. We're happy this morning because we are in Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray this morning now that you'll bless the singing, Lord. Lord, bless the service later on this afternoon, Lord, as our pastor speaks, Lord, and be with him and anoint him, Lord. Give him the words to speak, and even for me this morning, I pray, Lord, you'll touch these lips of clay with the hot coals from off thine altar. Let my imaginations and my thoughts be counted as naught, but Lord, let thy word be spoke this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, take control over this vessel in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, we just ask you now, Lord, for any needs that's needing met this morning, that you'll take care of them, that you'll speak to hearts this morning. Lord God, that you'll set people free. If there's any in bondage this morning, we pray that you'll break chains this morning and deliver and set your people free in the name of Jesus Christ. If any knows thee not as our Lord and Saviour, we pray, Lord, that you'll grant them repentance, and Lord, forgive them and heal them and save them in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Lord, we pray all these things and ask it in the lovely, the precious and the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Saviour and King. Amen. Amen. I'm going to sing from the Redemption Hymn Book. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. 626 in the Redemption Hymn Book. 626. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. Overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. Thank God that the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ my Saviour lifted me, now safe am I. Praise God. I was thank you. another chorus or two before we turn to God's word this morning. Maybe we can sing that chorus. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has been glad. Oh, he has made me glad.
You all this morning. You can tune in if you're not ready to number 108 FM. Number 108 FM. I trust everyone can hear me this morning. It's a lovely morning and welcome to the service this morning. It's good to see you all out. And I give you all a very warm welcome in the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Just a few weeks ago, I had been thinking about what I would preach the next time I was asked to preach. I've been asked quite a few times preaching for Margaret Hill Christian Fellowship. And I like to try to save the good stuff for here if I can, but it doesn't always work out like that. But you know, I had been reading just a certain portion of the Bible, and there was a certain thought come to me. And a few weeks ago, when Tommy was finishing the service, he asked, had anybody here heard tell of a man called Isaac Grindledore, was it? Isaac Grindledore. I don't think too many people had heard tell of Isaac Grindledore. And he said the reason why he hadn't heard tell of him because he never done nothing. And that was a little confirmation for me, because I never heard tell of Isaac Grindledore myself until Tommy named him. But I was thinking of a couple of other men, if anybody had heard tell of him. There's a man called Zimran. I wonder if anybody ever heard tell of Zimran, or could anybody tell me who Zimran was? If you do, stick up your hand if you know who Zimran was. I'd be very surprised if any of us know who Zimran was. Or does anybody know who Jokshan was? I'd be very surprised if you know any of these people. There's another man called Ishbak and Shua and Medan. And I would be very surprised if any of us knew or heard tell of them men. There's one man you might have heard tell of, and he was a brother to all these men. These men were a band of brothers. And the other one was called Midian. Now, I'm sure we've all heard tell, or we know of the Midianite tribe, but maybe don't know who Midian was, or Midian, but we've heard tell of the Midianite tribes. But these men were all brothers. And it's very surprising that none of us have a clue who they are. But if you'd asked me several weeks ago, I'm sure I've read this portion many times, but I couldn't have told you who Ishbak was, or Jokshan, or Zimran. I couldn't have told you who these men were. And so it's no surprise that there's nobody here familiar with them. But you know, maybe we ought to know who they are, because these men were the sons of Abraham. Now, if I had asked you this morning, who here has heard of Isaac? Put your hand up if you've heard tell of Isaac. All the hands goes up. Everybody knows of Isaac. But nobody knows of Isaac's. Now, you've heard tell of Ishmael. Ishmael's infamous. There's people who's famous, and there's people who's infamous. And Ishmael, I suppose, compared to Isaac, is infamous. But these other men, Zimran, and Jokshan, Medan, Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua, we don't know who they are, but yet with all, we know who Abraham was. We talk about Abraham as the father of the faith, the father of nations, and these men all became nations in their own right. But there's a reason why you never heard tell of these men. There's a reason why you don't know. Is because that Isaac was the preferred son. Isaac was a son of promise. And it was Isaac who was a type of Jesus Christ. These other men don't really mean anything at all. These other men don't have any real significance this morning to us, the believer. They have a significance in the makeup of people around the world and tribes and Arab tribes, perhaps as the sons of Abraham, because God promised Abraham he would be the father of many nations, not just of Israel, but many nations. And so he said that a seed would be like the sand of the seashore and the stars of heaven. That's not just speaking of Israel. But what concerns us is Israel, because the Bible says salvation is of the Jews. And it also says that in Isaac shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and all the kindreds of the earth will be blessed in Isaac. So you see, Isaac is the preferred and prominent son. Isaac is the heir to Abraham. And we're going to read this morning, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, the Genesis chapter 25, and we'll read about these men a little bit. But maybe before we turn to God's word, we can just ask God a quick blessing on the word. Our precious God, we just commit ourselves now to you. We pray that you'll bless your word. We pray, Lord, that you'll anoint me, the speaker of your word. And Lord, while the voice of the preacher is silent, may the Holy Ghost work on. I pray now that you'll help me to promote and lift up Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 25. If you read with me this morning, it says, this is after the death of Sarah. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. And Jokshan begot Sheba, and you've heard tell of the queen of Sheba, and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Asherim, Lithium, and Lemimim, if that's pronounced right. It doesn't really matter this morning, because it's not that important. But, and the sons of Midian, Ephath, Epher, and Hanok, and Abida, and Elda, all these were the children of Keturah. Now listen to this. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Amen. Praise God. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward onto the east country. Now, I want just for a while, we can read that there and skim over. I want to ask you as a parent this morning, if you have several children, if you had four or five sons and three or four daughters, can you imagine that you would send all your other children away and have a favourite son? I wouldn't advise anybody to pick out a favourite child. But, you know, in some cases, in some instances, there is a preferred child, there is a favourite. And there was a preferred son here. Because the Bible says that Abraham sent all these sons away from Isaac, his son. He sent them away. And it says that he gave all he had unto Isaac. Now, you would think that would cause a bit of jealousy. And I want you to think this morning, as you as a parent, do you think, could you do that? Do you think, could you pick out one of your children and say, right, this one here is going to be the heir to my substance. This one here, I'll have to send the rest of them away because I don't want to divide and herd and stuff. I want to make sure this one gets everything. And the rest of them get very little in regard. They got gifts, they were sent away, but the Bible says clearly here that all that Abraham had, he gave on to Isaac, and he sent them sons away from about him. Do you think you could do that? Do you think you could, like, in a sense, disown your children? Now, Abraham wasn't really disowning them, but he sent them away so that they wouldn't be near Isaac. He sent them away because Isaac was the principal son. He was the heir. He was the child of promise. All these other children were products of the flesh. But Isaac was not a product of the flesh. It may seem, yes, he was born of a man and a woman, but he was born after that. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. The Bible says that Abraham considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb. And even Abraham at his old age, you see, God left it until it was an impossibility for human measure, for human man, for man's interference, that this promise might become the effect, unless they said it was their own. It was their own doing. You see, Isaac wasn't a product of the flesh. Ishmael was a product of the flesh. All these other children were products of the flesh, but Isaac came by promise. And these other children of Keturah only came after that Abraham had a renewing in his body, and that Sarah had a renewing in her body too, because the Lord renewed their youth in order to receive the son. You know, they were an old couple, but in order for Sarah to have endured labour pains and to give suck on to a child, her youth needed to be renewed. And so that whenever they went down to the Philistines, Abimelech saw Sarah at 100 years of age and he fancied her. And he took her, he wanted her to be his wife. You see, because she was beautiful. And God renewed their youth, and God renewed their vigour. And even so, after this time then, that Abraham was able to go on and father other children. But you see, these sons had to be sent away. There was a reason for the sending away of these sons. You see, if Abraham had kept these sons together and hadn't sent them away, there would have been a division. You see, that would have caused also confusion, and it would have caused rivalry. You see, no matter where you are, there's always got to be a balance of power. There's always got to, when you go into your work, if you're working someplace, there's a foreman, and then there's one chief, lots of Indians. You've heard the saying, there's too many chiefs, not enough Indians. When that's the case, things don't go well, things don't work freely. But there needs to be a boss, and there needs to be men under that authoritative figure, and then above him, he perhaps has another boss. You see, there's got to be an order. But you see, whenever the sons of Abraham were all together, can you imagine if already, whenever Isaac was only being weaned, perhaps a child maybe of 8 years of age or 6 years of age, whatever he was, Ishmael was already 13 or 14 years of age. And the Bible says that already Ishmael mocked Isaac. Ishmael, the son of the flesh, was persecuting that which was born after promise. That's what Paul says. He persecuted him that was born after the promise. Him that was born after the flesh. You'll read it in Galatians. That would persecuted him that was born by promise. And so it is even in this day. Some of us that live by grace will be persecuted by those who live by works. But you see, Abraham wanted to make sure that this wouldn't happen. Because he wanted everybody to know that Isaac was his only begotten son. That Isaac was the chief man. He was the chief heir. He was the preferred son. And that's maybe a hard pill to swallow, but it's very important, because that indeed was the case. There couldn't be any contention. Whenever Isaac was growing up, he didn't want Isaac to have any contention whatsoever. Didn't want there to be any illusions of who was in control or who was the dominant one. Didn't want arguments over who possessed the land. You see, all that would have caused rivalry and confusion. There would have been a rise up against, striving against power. And we see that whenever the kings dwell together, there was conspiracies, and one man tries to overthrow another. There's all this, but that's why Abraham sent all these sons away, so that Isaac would be free and not hindered by any forms of division or rivalry or any type of confusion, so that whenever anybody could see and come into that land, they knew that Isaac was the principal man in that land. He was the heir of Abraham. He was the son. That's why the Bible calls him the only son, Abraham's only son. Praise God. Now, we know that Isaac was definitely Abraham's preferred son. He loved Isaac. Now, I'm not saying he didn't love his other children, but you see, all these other children have absolutely no significance really to us that are born after promise. You see, we too are born of a promise. The Bible says that which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of man, but of God. And when you're born again, you're not born in the flesh. You're born again of an incorruptible seed. You were born in the flesh by a corruptible seed, but by an inheritance, an eternal inheritance, and through Jesus Christ, we're born of God's word by promise. Thus, every son must be separated from the preferred son. You see how important it is that this son, he doesn't have any hangers-on. He doesn't have anybody challenging him for leadership. He doesn't have anybody challenging him for ownership. He doesn't have anybody challenging him for the birthright. Even though Ishmael was the firstborn, and even though that Esau was the firstborn, they did not inherit the birthright. You see, also God had a firstborn son, Adam, and he never inherited the birthright. And these men must be separated. So that whenever you come, whenever you see one. You don't see two. And you don't see three. You see one. There is one preferred son. That preferred son to us this morning is the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord this morning. Every son must be separated from this preferred son. In Genesis 3 and 23, let's just read it. Let's flick back a few chapters. Genesis 3 and 23 down to 24. This is what it says. Now Abraham wasn't the first one to send away his sons. We see here God doing the same thing. Genesis 3, 23 and 24. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Sent him away. The Lord God sent out Adam, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. He drove him out. He sent him away. You see, Adam could not remain the principal son. Adam could not remain the chief character. Adam had to be separated. He had to be sent away. He had to be drove out to make room for one that was not born of the flesh. You see, Jesus Christ was also a seed of promise. Jesus Christ was also a prophecy given. Because the Bible says, if you read back in chapter 3 there, you'll see that of the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, and he shall bruise his heel. That was the promise of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order for that Messiah to come, he couldn't have another son. Adam was a type of Ishmael. He was indeed Abraham's son. And he wasn't really that bad of a character as far as men go, really. He was a blessed man and had visitations of angels. There's many good things you could say about Ishmael. He was a father of nations as well, and a mighty prince. The Bible says that there. And Adam also was a son of God that was fallen, but he had to be sent away because there was a preferred son. And he could not share the same platform as this preferred son. So every son that was born of Adam and every son that came after Adam must be sent away. Because this preferred son must be set up wholly and absolutely, completely as the only begotten son of God. That God provided way, that there's only one, there's not two. Can't be two or three, there's only one. This preferred son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Ishmael was Abraham's firstborn, he was cast out, and so was Adam cast out. The first man born of God. The first man born of God was Adam. Born in his existence, not born of a woman, but born in the sense that he was the first man that was on the earth. Adam was the first man. You know, even before, we know that the Lord pre-existed. We know that the Logos pre-existed, but Jesus Christ had a beginning. Jesus as a man had a beginning. Not the Spirit, not the Logos, but as a man, as flesh and blood. He had both mother and father, beginning of days and ending of life. But the one that was in him didn't have that. But you see, as far as the flesh is concerned, he wasn't really the firstborn, but the Bible says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Just as Isaac received the blessing of the firstborn, and just as Jacob received the blessing of the firstborn. Isaac became or received the firstborn because of God's promise. Even that status of being firstborn, and Jacob received that also because Esau preceded Jacob. And Jacob maybe by suddenly took it, but it was Jacob who received the birthright. And it was Jacob who went on to father the 12 tribes of Israel. In order for Isaac to become this principal heir and this preferred son, Ishmael had to be sent away. He couldn't stay the same. And in order for Jesus Christ to be set apart from every other man, every other son must have been sent away on a separation from their father. Because there cannot be two chiefs. There cannot be two principal characters. There cannot be two principal sons. There cannot be two. There cannot be division of power. That's why we don't believe in three persons of the Godhead, because it divides the power. You're making a division of power, but there's not. There's one person in the Godhead, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. But you see, God's not a person. And the Spirit is not a person. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. But the Bible says that he became the expressed image of his person, not his persons. His person singular. Jesus Christ is the only person of the Godhead, and in him dwells all the fullness. Praise the Lord this morning. There cannot be two chiefs And God clearly identifies this here in Genesis 22, when God commands Abraham to take his son, thine only son Isaac. God identifies Isaac as being Abraham's only son. But here I read you this morning that Abraham had many sons. Abraham and Ishmael, but God didn't recognize them. And that's why you never heard tell of them. Because according to God, Isaac was Abraham's only son. Because he was the only one that was born of promise. These other men were born into bondage. And that's what it's like when you're born in the flesh. Every son of Adam is born into bondage. And the only way you can be free is through the inheritance of this preferred son, Isaac, in type, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord this morning. Praise God. Then in Hebrews, Paul reiterates the fact, and he goes a step further, and he said that when God called Abraham to take his only begotten son, that's a step further than only son. That's even more than only son. We have perverted versions today that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Well, that's not true. God had many sons. I just read to you this morning that Abraham was a son of God. Adam was a son of God. We're sons of God. God had many sons. But there is only one begotten son. He's a preferred son. He's preferred above every other son. That word begotten I'm led to believe, as far as I can figure out and what I've read, it means that he's the only one of that particular family. You see, there was plenty born of the family of the flesh. There's plenty born of Adam. There's plenty born of Ishmael. There's plenty born into bondage. But there's only one born free. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born free because he received no sin. He inherited no sin. Each and every one of us were inherited sin. That's why there had to be a separation. Because this man stands alone. He's different. He's the preferred son. He stands alone, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord this morning. Amen. The Bible says here in this portion of scripture that Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't hold nothing back. But he gave them all. And the Bible says that in Jesus Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Doesn't dwell in him in a part. Doesn't dwell in him by a measure. He didn't receive a gift, but in him dwelt the fullness. He is God. Hallelujah. He is the preferred son. There's no son like this son. There's no man like this man. He's the free man. Hallelujah. Each and every one of us are prisoners of sin. In bondage and in sin. This man never was in bondage to sin. This son never was in bondage to sin. This man was born free. Praise the Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the preferred son. Let me turn in the Bible. If you want to turn to John 3 and 34, I want to read something that coincides with what we just read, that Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. He didn't give all that he had unto Zimram, or Ishbak, or Shua, or Ishmael. He gave all that he had unto Isaac. John 3, 34 and 35. Listen to what it says. This is Jesus, or speaking of Jesus, John the Baptist saying, for him who God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He's different. This man is different. This man is set apart. Every other son has been sent away, but this son stands representing God. And all that God is represented in Jesus Christ. Praise God, the Father loveth him and have given all things into his hand. All things. There never was a man whom God committed everything into his hand. There never was a man whom God gave the Spirit in its fullness. There never was a man to whom received not the Spirit by measure, but this man, Jesus Christ. He's the preferred son. He's set apart. He stands alone. There's a preferred son this morning. You know why there's a preferred son? God wants you to look and see one man, Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to look and see Adam. He doesn't want you to look and see Abraham. He doesn't want you to look and see John the Baptist or Elijah or Moses or any other prophet. These men were all separated and sent away from God. God wants you to look at the preferred son, the one who stands alone. The one that's set apart. The one that is unique. He wants you to see this preferred son. He wants you to come to this preferred son. He wants you to know that in this preferred son hangs the goodness and the blessings of life. In this preferred son has the inheritance of God, everlasting life. Every gift from God comes from this preferred son. Every blessing from God, the Bible says, abides in me. shall all the nations and the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And in Jesus Christ shall every nation, every man and every woman, every boy and every girl, regardless to their skin color or their creed or nationality or anything like that, but they are blessed in Jesus Christ alone, because he's their preferred son. He wants you to see this morning that he is the only begotten Son of God. He's different. That's why there's a separation. That's why God sent every other son away. He didn't want you to look at Moses. Hezekiah caught the revelation whenever the children of Israel made a god out of a brazen serpent. They worshipped an idol that Moses had that was mightily used of God, no doubt. But Hezekiah seen that there was a preferred son. He didn't want them looking to no piece of brass. Glory! He wanted them to see the preferred son. God has a preferred son, and God wants you to turn to him this morning. God wants you to preach him this morning. God wants that whenever you're sent into the world to preach the gospel, that you present this preferred son. He must be the name on your lips. He must be the joy in your heart. He must be the reason you lift your hands, is because of this preferred son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't because of any other man. You see, any other man wasn't good enough. If they had been good enough, they would have been the preferred son, but they weren't. They were sent away. Bible says he sent them all away while he was yet alive. They were sent away. God made the blueprint when he sent Adam out of the garden. He separated himself from Adam. He fixed a great gulf between him and Adam. There was no reconciliation for man back to God, only through this preferred son. Praise the Lord this morning. Amen. For Colossians 2 and verse 9 says that all the fullness of him dwells in him. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him. That's all of God. You see, Jesus isn't just an ordinary man. He's not just a man that somebody got together and had a happy wedding night, and through the desires of the flesh he was produced. No, nothing to do with that at all. He was a preferred son. Back in Genesis, he was a promised Messiah to bruise the head of the serpent, and he came by God's word, God's promise. He's a preferred son this morning, praise God. He is the one who received the Spirit without measure. He didn't receive a gift of the Spirit. I want you to see that this morning. Abraham said that he gave gifts unto them other sons, but not so to Isaac. He didn't send Isaac away with a gift. He said, give Isaac everything that he had. Isaac's the gift giver. The Lord Jesus Christ is the gift giver. He didn't receive a gift. He gives the gift. Hallelujah. He's the gift giver. If you want to receive a gift, you must come to the preferred son. Praise the Lord this morning. God doesn't want there to be any confusion when you come. God doesn't want there to be three men sitting up round where Isaac should be sitting, and you don't know where to go, to the left or go to the right. You see, God dwells in straight places. You go straight to the preferred son. There's none to his left. There's none to his right. He's the preferred son in the middle, in the center. There's no confusion there. There's no mix up there. There's no nobody else you need to hear. There's nobody else you need to know about. These other sons were sons of Abraham. They were good men, I'm sure. They were fathers of nations. But it doesn't matter this morning that you never heard tell of them. It doesn't matter that you never heard tell of any of the sons of men, but that you hear tell of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the name you need to hear. That's the name you need to know. That's the man you need to know. The Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the preferred son. Praise the Lord this morning. He is the giver of gifts, praise God. Because he's rich, he received all that Abraham had, just as Jesus Christ received all that God had. He gave to his son, that even through him was spoke the creation. You see, this son is rich. Abraham was rich, wasn't he? He was a rich, wealthy man, and he's a type of the Father. And God, everything that God had, he gave and poured into his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This preferred son. If you want to see God, look at the son. The hymn writer got it right, and he said, oh, come to the Father through Jesus, the son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. You see, the only way you can come to God through this son. There can't be any other way. That's why God has one preferred son. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's not many ways to God this morning. There's not many sons that can bring you to God. There's not many men that can bring you to God, into that fellowship and into that union. There's no other man can give you eternal life but this preferred son. Amen. He's set apart. He's different. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The Bible says that he has received a more excellent name than they all. Speaking of the angels,
when he was born, it said, let all the angels of God worship him. Can you show me another man where angels were commanded to worship? There's no other man, no matter how great his ministry was, there's no other man can say that. But when Jesus was born, it was said, let all the angels of God worship him. Why? Because he is the preferred son. Hallelujah. He's the favorite, and we ought to look to him not in jealousy, but with love and admiration. Praise God that he is the preferred son. Praise God. John the Baptist. Jesus said of John the Baptist, of men that was born of women, there was none greater than he. Let us take a look at what John said in John chapter 1, verse 15, 17, pardon me. The Bible says this. When John the Baptist spake of this preferred son, he said, John bear witness of him and cried, saying, he didn't whisper it, he didn't say no. I want to tell you this about a wee man. We have a good wee man. No, the Bible said he cried and he bare witness. Of one to come. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. That means he's greater than me. Hallelujah. He's God's choice over me. God loves him more than me. He's the preferred son. This is he of whom John spake and cried and bear witness of him, saying, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, because he was before me. Hallelujah. You see, was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before Adam was in the garden, God already had a preferred son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why Adam was sent away. There's many reasons we can think about, but I'll tell you, that's the reason why he was sent away, because God had a preferred son. He couldn't be reconciled to God through Adam. No, because a sinner couldn't redeem a sinner. It took one born free, and every son born of Adam and every son born after that was born into the bondage type of Ishmael. That's what Paul teaches in the book of Galatians, praise God. Every son born of Adam and Ishmael was born in bondage. In order for the way to be straight and plain, one son must be lifted up above all and above all others. Hebrews 1 verse 9, I'll turn to it. I will not be long to be finished, but you know, these other men all believe what I'm saying. Listen to what Paul said about this preferred son in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. This is what he says. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. Above all thy fellows. Above all thy brethren. Above all men, above everyone, the Lord God hath anointed him. He's the anointed son. He's the preferred son. He's the exalted son. He's the all-powerful son. He's everything. He is the only one. He's the only way, praise the Lord. Amen. So that every son who wishes to come before God must come to this preferred son. If you want to be reconciled to the Father, whenever you make that journey back, you see, we're born in sin, we're born in bondage, we're separated from God, we've been sent away from God's presence. But if you ever want to be reconciled to God, God has one representative. Only one. Amen. The Bible says, Paul again speaking in Hebrews, he said, for there's one mediator between God and man. One. The man. Christ Jesus. The preferred son, there's only one. And if you want to get back to the Father, if you want to get back to that promised land, that inheritance that God gave to Abraham, the New Jerusalem, that's what it is. It's the New Jerusalem. If you want to set foot in there, you must come to this preferred son. Every other son. You know what, Isaac's brethren, they knew there was no mistake. They knew that he was the preferred son. They knew that because Abraham gave all they had unto him. They all received gifts, but Abraham gave all they had to Isaac. And we as men receive gifts, but Jesus didn't receive the gift of faith by a measure. He was faith. He was the revelation of God. He was the gift. Hallelujah. God is the gift. Jesus is the gift that God gives to us. Praise God. Every man that wants to come must come to this preferred son so that we can receive the inheritance and become as he is, the children of promise. You see, without him, without that one of promise, we're just children of bondage. We're Ishmael's children. We're just a bunch of children born in the flesh. You see, I come here this morning because I'm the result of a union between a man and a woman. But there's one bearing witness to you this morning that wasn't born as a result of the union of a man and woman, but was the result of God's calling and God's election and God's promise and God's manifesting power. That's what it is this morning, praise the Lord. We must become the children of promise. And how do we do that there? Romans 8, verse 17. I'll turn to here in case I quoted wrong this morning. Romans 8, verse 17. Praise the Lord this morning. I'm just coming to a close, not for long here. 8, verse 17. It says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Isn't that wonderful? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means all that Jesus has, we can inherit this morning. That we can be seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We can partake of this inheritance. We can partake of this preferred son. We can be an inheritance to him because of God's promises. He reconciles us, but we must come to the preferred son. You can't be reconciled. You can't have any of this inheritance. You cannot become an heir outside of this preferred son. You must come through this preferred son to become an heir with Jesus Christ. He's not greedy. He didn't want to say, he wasn't the type and said, "Well, hold on, I want all this for myself." No. You see, God saw his heart. God knew he wasn't greedy. But he wanted to share it. He wanted to make every man free. He doesn't want you in bondage this morning. You couldn't help it that you were born in bondage. He was born free and he wants to set you free. He wants you to enjoy the privilege and relationship with the Father that he has. He wants you to enjoy the same. Praise God. He wants to come and live in you. He wants you to receive the gift of eternal life. Praise God this morning. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the preferred Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gift. Praise God. Amen. Then we're heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs, the Bible says. Joint heirs. Not lower. Joint. I tell you what, that's some promotion. That's some promotion that the Lord would consider us to be joint heirs with him. That's some promotion that God would bring us out of the dung heap, smelling and filthy and rotten in sin, and wash us with his own precious blood and make us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But we must come to the preferred son. You see, there is one preferred son. There's not many. There can only be one. And you know, whenever we come to this preferred son, he sends us away again. He says, "I send you a sheep among wolves." This time we're not sent away from God in bondage, we're sent away in freedom to proclaim the gospel, to reach others that are in bondage, to bring them to this preferred son, that we can have a clear focus that who we are to present when we're sent. We present the Lord Jesus Christ, for he's the preferred son. He's the only one that can deliver. He's the only one can impart his righteousness. He's the only one that can impart this inheritance that was God given to him. He's the only one can point it, can give you this here. That's why we must present, when we're sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. Says he sends you out among sheep, like sheep among wolves. But he sends us to proclaim the good news. It's good news that the slave can be set free. Your debt has been paid. That's good news. Every other man that you see that's not born again is a slave to sin. He's in bondage. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants to free you this morning. He wants to free every man and woman that receive him. But you must come to the preferred son. See, God gave all that he had to Jesus. He set him up. The Bible even says, Jesus said of himself, "If I be lifted up from the earth." Not if some prophet's lifted up. You can't present a prophet. You can't present a priest. You can't present a scholar. You can't present a theologian. You can't present a Bible college. You can't present a denomination. You can't present any of those things. They're all vanity. The only thing that you can present that's worth anything is what God has told you is his preferred son. The Lord God, let me finish with this morning. Whenever Ishmael was born, he was in line to inherit Abraham's blessing. You know what Abraham said at one point? He said, when God said that Sarah will conceive a son, he said, "Let Ishmael, my son, live before thee forever." Abraham was content for Ishmael to take the blessing, but God was never going to let that happen. No matter, regardless to Abraham and Sarah and anything else they got there, God was never going to let it happen because God had promised the seed. Then what happened was, Ishmael began to grow. And perhaps Hagar thought to herself, this boy is going to receive the inheritance because that old dry-eyed Sarah can't have children. She's past the age. She'll need a miracle. She's going to need the impossibility. And that's not going to happen. That's perhaps what you thought. And this little man, Ishmael, maybe when he was mocking Isaac, thought to himself, I'm going to rule over you. But God had other plans because God had him sent away from Isaac, praise God, so that nobody ruled over Isaac. But in order for Ishmael to receive that blessing, he had to receive legal adoption. You see, Hagar was a concubine. She was not really the legal wife of Abraham. That was Sarah. So whenever Sarah had Isaac, Isaac automatically became the principal heir. And the only way Ishmael could have had it, could have been shared, is that if he had been legally adopted. But the Lord identified Isaac. He said, take thy son, thine only son Isaac. And he disregarded Ishmael. He disregarded Zimram, Ishbak, and Shua, and all them other sons. They were disregarded. And let me say this morning, when Jesus was being baptized of John, God identified again his preferred son when he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Never was said of another. Again, on the Mount of Transfiguration, whenever Peter and John would have built their tabernacles to Moses and their tabernacles to Elijah, the Lord rebuked them and he said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. Listen, Moses had his purpose, Elijah had his purpose, but neither of them can save. You know, the Bible says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth, he's the preferred son, he's greater than Moses, came by Jesus Christ, hallelujah. He's the preferred son, he's greater than Moses. And the Bible said that God said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. The Lord wants you to hear him this morning. The Lord wants you to look at him this morning. All your glory, honor, and praise belong to him this morning. Praise the Lord. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the preferred son. The Lord bless you this morning. And I trust you're blessed a lot this morning. If you don't know this preferred son, if you should listen in on this, and you want the gift of eternal life, the gift of the eternal life resides in the preferred son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in John 3 and 34 that he spake the words of God. It also says there that he that hath the Son of life and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Without the preferred Son, there's only death. And with the preferred Son, there's only life. There's only life with the preferred Son. And you don't have to ever go back into bondage of works again. You know what the bondage was talking about regarding Ishmael? Paul talks about it. This is Sinai. That regards the law. That was Judaism. When they were trying to enforce their works upon grace. But grace and works is separate things. God saved you by his grace. You're not saved by your works. God keeps you by his grace. He doesn't keep you by your works. You have nothing to do with it. God saved you. It's his keeping. It's his salvation. It belongs to him. You have nothing to do, only trust and obey. All you have to do, trust and obey, praise God, believe him. And even if you have a bad day, doesn't make no difference. Do you think God's not big enough to see you through a bad day? Get over it. Hallelujah. The Lord's able to suffer you. The Lord's able to present you spotless and faultless before his Father in heaven. He's the preferred son. He's mighty. He's strong this morning. He's the strong-breasted one. He's Jehovah. He's the God-defying God. He is God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord this morning. Amen. Can we sing the hymn this morning? 399. As we close. First of all, the earth beside. Chiefest. The chief. That's what Paul said, that Jesus Christ was the chief apostle. There's not two chiefs. There's only one. Praise God. There's only one. Praise God. He is the chiefest of all. On to his bride, fullness divine in the eye see, wonderful man of Calvary. Praise God. Listen this morning, while you're in your car this morning, really sing this out. Don't be dismayed, don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. Sing it this morning, because you know, sometimes you get a bit excited. But I, like John, wanted to cry that out. I wanted to cry it. You know, you don't hide your light under a bushel. You let your light shine. Praise God. And if somebody can hear me over the hill, well, that's great. Praise God. Amen. First of all, the earthly side. Sing up this morning and really worship and praise the Lord. Are you glad that you have had been presented and reconciled to this preferred Son? And all the blessings of God are yours this morning in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Over to Pastor, come and make the announcements for this afternoon and close in prayer. Then I'll come and sing a chorus as we leave. The Lord bless you.
Praise the Lord, wasn't that wonderful? I tell you, it was really a word in season, a message from the Lord. The preferred Son, great message. Praise God, and the Lord bless and strengthen our brother Gary. And you know, this here's the best training you can get. Young men, when you let them preach, that's the best college there is. You never learn until you're let at it. And it's God that trains men, not other men. It's only God can train you. And we thank the Lord for the word of the Lord this morning. We'll be live again 4:30 this evening. I know there's been a bit of problems with those that don't have Facebook. It goes cuts in and cuts out. The brothers is working on it, and we're hoping to get it fixed, but try and tune in if you can. And it might be a bit slow starting, but try and tune in if you can this evening at 4:30. Then next Sunday morning we're going to have our brother Samuel preaching next Sunday morning. The week after that will be brother Ian. The week after that our elder brother John. And we want to keep on going, and I'm not sure what's happening with the halls yet. We're working on it to see what we can do. And just pray that the Lord will lead us and guide us, and that people get saved. That's the main thing. Let us bow our heads as we appreciate the Lord and appreciate the word of God. And I'm sure God has spoke to people this morning. And if the Lord has spoke to you this morning, and you know, thinking as a brother was coming to a close, and he mentioned adoption, and it says we can now have adoption. Because of the preferred Son, we can have adoption. We can have adoption through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can become them heirs. Hallelujah. Heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, so that all that he paid for, we can be benefactors of it. Amen. We can be benefactors. Salvation, healing, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Benefactors of all them things. Hallelujah. Because of that preferred son. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, and he's been lifted up this morning, and we thank God. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you have a need, raise your hand to the Lord. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the preferred son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the apple of thy eye, the beloved of the Father's bosom. We thank you this morning that you left the glory and splendor of heaven above, and you took upon you the form of a man, and you became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You lowered yourself a little lower than the angels, and you went the whole way to Calvary, and there you bled and died that we could be saved. Lord, we're glad for your precious blood. We're glad for your precious word. We're glad for your precious presence. And Lord, we appreciate you this morning. We love you because you first loved us. Father, I ask for the hands that's raised. Lord, that you'll touch that dear woman. Touch that dear man. Touch that dear boy. Touch that dear girl. And heal them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We ask for Brother Matthew that you'll touch him. In the name of Jesus. And for others that need your touch, yes, in Jesus Christ's name, save the lost, restore the backslidden, fill your own people with the joy of the Lord, yes, Lord. And a fresh baptism, yes. And the Spirit of Almighty God, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, bless your brother Gary, keep him, bless him, bless his family, continue to inspire him, continue to use him, and continue to move him. And may there be many that slain to the Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Lord, we look to you now. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your keeping and saving power. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. 4:30 this evening. Tune in and hear a word from heaven. God bless you all.
Amen. Praise God. Well, just sing a chorus or two as we leave. The Lord bless you and save you on your own.